Ephesians chapter number 4, please. Ephesians chapter number 4. As Pastor Noah said, we are getting ready for our revival services coming up the first Sunday in October. And there will be children's classes and things for the children each night. Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. So y'all come. Y'all come. Just pick them up and scoop them up. If you want to go through a drive-thru, fine. Otherwise, maybe we'll have some snacks here is our plan. Come on in. We want you to be ready. But more importantly, we hope you've been using the 40 days of prayer. That is to prepare us spiritually. That's the most important thing we can do is have our heart ready to meet with God. Because revival is for the church. It's for the people. It's for Christians who know God. It means to bring to life again. It's not resaving. It's just lighting that fire that's gone out. And I never was good at that at Boy Scouts, was lighting a fire. Now, I could light a fire with paper and a lighter, and anybody could, but getting out there and just trying to do it otherwise. But sometimes our wood gets wet. You know what I'm saying? If you like my illustration, and you need it to be relit. And that's what revival is. It's coming close to God, being clean, and letting God do something incredible. Ephesians chapter number 4, if you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. Go ahead and grab it. Ephesians is 2/3 of the way through the Bible. It's in the New Testament. It's after Galatians. It's before 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. It's right there between Romans, and you'll find it. It's Ephesians. It's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Find chapter number 4 and verse number 30. And we're going to read 30. I'll read the odds, you'll read the evens. So let's start here in verse number 30. If you found it, say, well, let's start in verse 29. You guys can start on the odd. Here we go. Do you have it? Do you find it? Say amen. Here we go, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and it is a joy to be in your house. Father, as we get ready for the revival services, Father, we know the physical things that we've got to set up, tables and chairs and whatnot. But God, it is so important. Please move among us today. Speak to our hearts. Show us. Put your finger on the spot in our heart that needs to be brought out and resolved with you, confessed, repented, and that we may be clean, ready to receive, ready to be blessed, ready to hear from you today. And if there's one here that just doesn't know and is not sure any of this is real, make yourself real to them as you did us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as you look at the verse just really quickly, corrupt communication, I think you figured that out. Out of your mouth, that which is corrupting, that which is not right, that which is not holy. But in contrast, which is good to the use of edifying. Anybody use the word edify in a sentence this week? It means to encourage and build up. Not just to encourage like, oh, I'm sorry, you're having a bad day. No, it's encouraging to build them. Did the words you spoke this week build people, inspire people, lift people up? Did they? You can tell if you put a nanny cam in your office 5 minutes after you leave, see if everybody goes, man, I thought they'd never leave. Huh? That's what it means, to encourage, to lift up, edify, that it may minister grace, that your words may be enabling and empowering and encouraging to others as God gives us grace. And grieve not. Now, this is kind of crazy. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's a person. All right, he is a person. He's just as much God as God the Father, God the Son. We believe in the Trinity. And listen, tonight I'm going to be teaching on Sunday night, or tonight at 5, after the Awana opening program, I'll be teaching on God and the Trinity in here. All right, so I'll leave that for that. But Holy Spirit is God, and he gets grieved. He has a personality. He's not an impersonable force, okay? He is a person. You can talk to him. He has a personality, and you can grieve him. What do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you something. I can't wait to get to heaven. I just can't. I mean, do you realize that the Feast of Trumpets is going to start here either tomorrow or the next day, and some exciting things are going to happen. We're so close to the return of Jesus Christ, I'm keeping my eye on the sky. I don't know about y'all, but I'm keeping my eye on the sky, keeping my knees on the ground, and trying to keep my heart clean because he's coming back, all right? And I want him to find me ready to go. Okay, just a few of us. Okay, the rest of you are going to be like, woo! I didn't see that coming. I don't either. I don't know the date or the hour either. But I want to be ready. It's exciting to see prophecy fulfilled in front of us. Now, but I can't wait to get to heaven so that Mrs. Mix will be in the fullness of joy and she'll forget all the dumb, stupid, insensitive things I've ever said or done that grieved her. Do you know what I'm talking about now? Mrs. Mix had, all right, so before the internet, we would buy things through a catalog. Children, that was a book that got sent to your house, and it was like a paper copy of Amazon. Okay, she bought an air cooker, big glass thing, man, and she put a pot roast in there, and she set the dial. It was shiny. Ooh. Set the timer and the temperature, and she pulled the handle up to make it turn on. It was like, it came alive, right? So anyway, she just got out of the box, put the meat in, turned it on, and it made all this really cool sound. I'm like, I love tools, right? And so we go to eat it, and it looks fabulous. And we cut into it, and I put it in my mouth, and she goes, so, what do you think? And I go, it tastes like motor oil. And she goes, and she runs into the red room and slams the door and locks the door. What I meant was, we didn't clean the machine before we put the meat in it. Because they always coat the metal with oil. Does nobody else know how that works? You coat the metal with oil so it doesn't rust coming across the ship from China. You got to clean it. We forgot to clean it so I could taste the oil. I didn't mean nothing by it. I wasn't trying to be ugly. I'm like, no, baby, I'll eat it. I swear to God, I'll eat it. Please come back out. Yeah. Yeah. I made, oh, man, the cookie incident of 1994 where I made a comment about her cookies compared to my mom's cookies. And that woman has not baked me a cookie in 35 years of marriage. She's like, that's it. Get your mother's. Whew. How about it, gentlemen? You know what I'm talking about. We say things, do we do dumb things? And our wife's spirit pulls back into her heart because she's wounded. Now, if you do it on purpose, we're going to come over and have a prayer meeting and lay hands on you. But most of the time, it's just we're just dumb. We're just big dogs that can talk. That's all men are, right? You scratch the behind here and go, who's a good boy? And we're like, yeah, right, aren't we? All we need is a little praise, man, and we'll roll over and do whatever. Man, Mrs. Mix knows how to work a brother, man. She does. She'll see something wrong at the house, and she'll go, hey, baby, I know you can fix that. You going to get that tool belt out? I love you in that tool belt. I love you in that tool belt. Get out all the tools, man. Right? Just a little praise, all we need. But our ladies, they kind of retreat when we do dumb things, say dumb things, when we're insensitive, when we don't think about them. And so the Holy Spirit is very similar to that. We grieve him. And listen, just like physical bruises take a while to heal and they're still tender, emotional bruises with our spouses are the same way. And the Holy Spirit's not just going to pop back up like a Cracker Jack box and go, okay, we're fine. It takes a lot of time in speaking your wife's love language. It takes time, compassion, and care to get them to trust their heart with you. Well, same thing with the Holy Spirit. We grieve him. And I don't want to push the analogy too far, but I want you to understand there are things that grieves the Holy Spirit, the heart of God himself. Here in Ephesians chapter number 4, if you'll go back here to verse 31, we wound the Holy Spirit with how we treat other Christians. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, he's talking to the local New Testament church at Ephesus. These are believers. These aren't lost people. This isn't the Hollywood crowd. This isn't the CNN crowd. This is the folks who know the Lord as their Savior. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice is the desire for them to be in pain. I'm so angry, I want them to be in pain. I'm going to say this because I'm going to feel better and they're going to be hurt. He's talking to Christians who do it to other Christians. Now, I'm sure nobody is like that in here today, but this is just academic for y'all who aren't like this. But We're like that with our words to our husband and our wife and our children and our parents, our siblings. Teenagers, we do it to our parents, and we'll do it church member to church member. We are so hurtful, and it grieves God. It grieves God in his heart. And we wonder why the Holy Spirit isn't talking to us. We wonder why the Holy Spirit's not moving in our life and answering our prayers. Because if there is a wall between me and my wife, there is a ceiling between me and my God, and you can count it. You can count on it. So how do we fix it? We got to make those relationships right. So we grieve the Holy Spirit also by ignoring God's word. You'll find this in Ephesians 6:18. You see the influence. Praying always with prayer and all supplication in the Spirit, watching there all to with perseverance, supplication for all saints. We are to have the Spirit's influence in our life through the word of God. We ignore his presence. We treat him as though he's not really there. Or you'll hear that voice in your head going, you really ought to do this. And you're like, I don't want to. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we're not grateful. Confession and repentance is a start. You know, with our spouses, it'll take some time of sweet fellowship and comforting and affirming words and speaking their love language to bring the healing. Do you know what your love language is? Do you know what your spouse's love language is? What's my love language? Sandwiches. You should know that. Sandwiches. After 34 years, it's sandwiches. Man, you make me a sandwich, buddy. That speaks love. That's love, right? I'm just kidding. No. Do you know? You should. You need to learn to speak her language or his language. And so when we do that, we confess, we say we're sorry. That's a start. And then we live right with godly living. You know, before trust can be restored, the Holy Spirit needs to, you know, we need to walk with him and we need to do right. And the Spirit is a person. So speak words of grace, not bitterness. Speak gratitude. Start your day off and pray and let the Lord know how blessed you are. Now, this section of Scripture also tells us how to be filled with the Spirit. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Now, because verse 18 starts with the word and, that means it's connected to verse 17. English wasn't my first language. I had to go to school for it. Anybody else have to go to school for English? Okay, so here's some grammar for you, okay? Look what it says here. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and... So it's the will of the Lord that you be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now that word drunk or excess means going outside the boundaries that God has laid out. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God. These are the boundaries as dear children. Here's the boundaries. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We are to be loving like he was. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Those are your boundaries. And God is saying, listen, we're not even supposed to talk. There are things that shouldn't be coming out of our mouth. I mean, America has lost its ability to blush. I don't mean the stuff you put on your face. I mean, you see something and you're like, oh, hey, no. In Ephesians 5:18, we're not to let anything come into our life that causes us to break down our defenses and we start living outside the boundaries. So now look here in verse number 18. You see that semicolon after the word excess? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But in contrast, we're to be filled with the Spirit. Have you ever been around a drunk? You ever been a drunk? You know, there's something else controlling them. Oh, I'm in control. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're a fool. You think you can drink and you're in control. You're out of your mind. If you ever been around a drunk, a sloppy drunk, something else is in charge. And just like that, God wants you to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Do you ever wonder why all of the liquor stores used to say wine and spirits? You little children. It's called the ABC store. They took that down because they didn't want you to know the difference. They're not helping you with new words. It was called wine and spirits. Why? Because stay away from that stuff. It'll mess up. It's liquid stupid. There's 117 different verses in the Bible I can take you to for the evils of strong drink. Wow, got quiet in here, didn't it? I haven't had a drop since April 19th, 1991. You can live without it. You'll be fine. All right, let's go on now. I got to meddle in there for a second. But it's good preaching, though, ain't it? All right, okay, let's go. All right, verse 19 says, here's how you be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to you, because there's a semicolon after the word Spirit. That means the thought's not over. Hold on, we're not done. Look what he says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting. So there's another one of those semicolons. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's how you be filled with the Spirit. Those things. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. God gave us 150 of them. They're in a book. Conveniently located at the center of your Bible. You ought to read Psalm a day. That was the song book. Psalms 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf also not wither. His fruit, he'll bear fruit in his season. His leaf shall not also wither. And whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. I almost had it right. Right? These psalms are beautiful. Their psalms are wonderful. And now the Psalms Project has put it to music. You can listen to them in music. Then hymns. Hymns are songs of praise that praise God for his character and his promises. Every home needs a songbook, needs a hymn book. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Sometimes you're going to need that song when things get dark, things seem dry. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives. I love that song. But sometimes you really need trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You don't have to be a choir member to be filled with the Spirit. God isn't interested in tone, pitch, and talent, but he wants your voice making melody in your heart. You guys ever whistle or hum or play music? It matters what music you listen to. You know, when we would get ready for basketball, especially we were in the Final Four state championship my junior year. Can you imagine what music we were listening to in the locker room before the game? Right, that's right, buddy. Just come out and take a head. It was I the Tiger, actually. Man, like, dun, 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 dun. Man, we were ready to tear some heads off, man. We weren't listening to Easy 101.5. The smooth station. No, man, because music has a way of stirring us, and it can either stir our flesh or lift our spirit. Then you determine which one. Can your wife tell when you've been hanging around with certain people? Can you tell when she's been watching certain TV shows? I used to come home, Mrs. Mix was fuming mad. Found out later she'd been watching Oprah. And man, there's a whole bunch of women on there. They're just miserable. They didn't have husbands. Didn't want you to have a husband either. And she'd come home, she'd just be mad. And I'd be like, what did I do? Dude, I got up, went to work. That was my job. Right? Prudent wife is of the Lord. You ought to be thankful. You need to be thankful. Now, it says in verse 20, making melody in your heart to the Lord and giving thanks. Ask God. Say, Holy Spirit, what is it the Father would like me to thank him for? What is it I've not seen that he's done that I... And then you pause. I'll bet you a dollar that the Holy Spirit will... I don't gamble, but the Holy Spirit will tell you. He'll bring stuff to mind God's done for you. One time he reminded me that my truck was paid off. And when you drive by all these new cars broke... I drove by a Bugatti yesterday on the side of the road with a T-shirt hanging out the window. And I went, should have drove a Ford! I have cooled seats and a cup holder. Nice try. You know, I'm serious. It's a blessing when you realize what God's doing in your life. You know, our wives appreciate being praised. Now, ladies, listen. The dumbest question you can ask is you get dolled up and you come out to your husband and go, do you see anything different? Gentlemen, take her by the hand. Say, baby, let me explain. And you walk her out to the car, open the hood and go, do you see anything different? That was free, by the way. Now think to yourself, we need to be grateful. Submitting yourself. Now, here's the verse everybody forgets. All right, let's get down to the brass tacks. That means let's get down to the bottom line up front. I had something new I learned from you military folks. Bluff, B-L-U-F, bottom line up front. Here's verse 21. Nobody adds this to being filled with the Spirit. Nobody. Never heard a sermon on it. You say, well, preacher, I hear it all the time. Well, I don't. Because nobody likes this verse. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's humbling your heart and being right with the other person. It's not just talking about your superiors. Jesus said, if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? James 4 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. All of this opens us up to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question. There was a time when Jesus was heading into Jerusalem and he sees this fig tree far off and he walks over and he finds that there's only leaves on it. And he curses it and it withers. And it's like Jesus walked over and went, where's the fruit? What's the fruit you're bearing in your life? I guess, let me rephrase. What's it like being around you? What's it like being around you for a whole day? Matthew 7:16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. What's it like being around you? Matthew 12 says that we can choose what kind of fruit we bear. Matthew 12:33. So what's it like being around you? Is there any evidence? Take your Bible, go to Galatians real quick. You're right there in Ephesians. Go back a couple of pages to Galatians 5 and verse number 22. We have the fruit of the Spirit. It's not plural, it's fruit. It's singular. This should be manifest in the life of every Spirit-filled Christian. There's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That means there's no one's going to be able to condemn you. No one's going to be able to point at you and claim fault. What's it like being around you? Have you ever been to a barbecue and you lose track of which Coke can is yours, but you think it's this one and you grab it and you take a drink only to find a cigarette butt in the bottom of it? Is that what it's like being with you? You look all sweet and kind on the outside, but the minute somebody gets real close to you, it's like licking an ashtray. I did one time on a picnic, grab a Coke one time, I went to take a drink and got a bee in my mouth. Yeah, I got stung. Do people get stung being around you? Because there's no kindness, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. What's temperance? That's spiritual Ozempic. That's what that is. That's spiritual self-control. Do people get stung being around you? Do they go home with a welt? Meekness. Jesus desired to see folks saved. That's another one of those fruits that evidence that God is working in your life. You see the world through his eyes and you start to see people not as irritants, but as souls for which Christ died. People lost and blind to the truth. So what fruit are you doing? What are you bearing? Ask the Holy Spirit for it. You know, Jesus said, how much more shall they that ask the Father and he give them the Holy Spirit? You can ask and say, God, please fill me. Please take control of me today. I'm doing for the best way I know how. I'm surrendering myself. Speak through me. Let them hear your voice. Guide me. I promise to the best of my ability, I will operate on your impulse. Turn right, turn left, do this. Don't say that. Huh? Have you ever taken a moment and thought before you text back? And said, Holy Spirit, how would you like me to respond? Holy Spirit, I'm going to write this email. What would you like me to say? Huh? What fruit are you bearing? You see, as we get ready for revival, we need to take a second and do some inventory right here in our heart. We need to take an inventory and look at our hearts. Now, the Bible says we receive the Holy Spirit when we trust Christ as our Savior. And that's true. But does he get all of us? Meaning, do we surrender everything? No, we don't. We hold things back. The Holy Spirit decides, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:11 that the Spirit divides the gifts to every man severally as he will. He knows how he wants each person to operate. And in Romans 12:6, it's according to the proportion of faith. How much you actually believe God and take God at his word is going to determine how much God operates in your life. And 2 Kings 2:9, Elisha said to Elijah, I want a double portion. I'm going to go ahead and ask you. I want you to work in my life. I've seen you do great things through other people. I want you to do the same thing through me, yet more than I could ask or think, the Bible says. I want you to do it. Show me how. Show me the areas that are holding you back, because God doesn't bless bad behavior. God doesn't bless bad attitudes. You know, a bad attitude is just as much disobedience as disobedience. Oh, okay, only Pastor Mix believes that. Okay, obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with a good attitude. You know? And if you got to count to 10 to get Junior to obey, that means he can be rebellious until 9 3/4. No means no. Yield yourself to the Spirit. So when the Spirit prompts you, you go, yes, sir. You obey. Because when you trust him, he is teaching you to trust him for even greater things. He wants to do things beyond what you've ever done before. But can he? Will you let him? You got to turn over control. In Romans 6 and verse 12, it's resisting the lust of the flesh. What does that mean? The desire for me to make choices and be in charge. I will decide how engaged I get. Okay, is that what the scripture says? Or is that the gospel of you? Is that in first, you know, is that in the book with your name on it? Because God says, no, it's full surrender, full obedience, right now. We have to choose who's on the throne of our heart. In Romans 6 and verse 16, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself, servants to obey. Whatever impulse you obey, that's who's in charge of your life. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. God will never lead you to sin. God will never lead you to violate his word. Verse 19 says, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. We've all know what that's like, giving in to sin, giving in and breaking our diet. That's a good easy one. Or giving in to the impulse and saying something we wish we could take back. We are to yield our members servants to righteousness unto holiness, the Bible says. We have to crucify the flesh, Galatians 5:24. So tomorrow, when you get up, yield in the morning, say, Holy Spirit, I'm yours. I'm yours. Speak to me. Guide me. And I will do my dead level best to obey as I learn to hear your voice. Number two, yield before you answer back on those text messages or those IMs or those emails. Think it through. Are my words building? Are my words encouraging? You can be direct. You can be corrective. But are my words tearing down and shutting people off? Or are they lifting people up and helping them to see how they ought to go? See, it says speak the truth in love is what the Bible says. So how do you do that? Well, when somebody knows you care about them more than just what they can do for you, they have a way of listening and listening to you. Some of you have had really good superiors, really good officers, really good sergeants, really good people in your life and in your career in the government and places. And then you've had some that weren't so much. What was the characteristics of those people? Well, they typically wouldn't listen and hear you out. They wouldn't take an advisement what you're saying. Right? It's not hard to ID these people. So what's it like being around you? What's it like? There's an old gospel song that says he doesn't live here anymore. Talking about the old man. How that when he'd come home, the children would run and hide. And the wife would walk around on eggshells. But that man don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. Can you say that? Can you say that? You've been to Calvary. You've knelt you bent your knee and bowed your head, and you admitted you were a sinner, and you asked Jesus Christ to save you because you can't work your way to heaven. His blood was shed for you. I remember the day. There were some things that changed immediately, and then there were some things that, quite honestly, I'm still working on. But I'm not the man I was. I'm not who I could have been so far, but thank God I'm not who I was. God's still working. We're to love righteousness and hate iniquity. Now, the Bible says that Jesus was given the Holy Spirit and that and his power without measure. And then the Bible goes on to say in chapter number three, that he giveth the Holy Spirit by measure, that he will measure it out as you have faith and obedience and are interacting with his word and letting him be in control. He will continue to pour out his Spirit through you, not for your glory, not for your ends, but for his, as he can trust you. And so some of us, we got the Holy Spirit, but we got him squeezed down into a communion cup. And we don't let him out, right? Because everything else is pressing in. Our desires, our career goals, our unholy ambitions that sacrifice relationships and with our kids and our family and sacrifice our relationships with people in the church and in the community. And we got the Holy Spirit pressed down into a communion cup. But as we yield, we open up and we allow the Holy Spirit to move freely and for him to empower us to do more. But he's not going to make us. You know, and isolation doesn't help you. You need to be in church. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 that we are to provoke one another to love and good works. It means that to encourage to action in the area of loving others and good works to glorify God. How do we do that? Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The day of our Lord's return. Go home and read Matthew 25, and you're going to find out we're living in the last moments of the last hours of the last day. There's nothing on the prophetic timetable left that has to be done before Jesus comes back. I want to be found yielded and serving so you can ask for it, but you got to yield yourself. And you need to check and say, what's it like being around me? What's it like for the people around me? Am I a battery or a drain? Spiritually speaking, am I dragging everybody down just because I'm mad about something, or am I choosing to trust the Lord? It matters. And you won't see the cumulative effect until your children have children and they look back and how they parent their kids. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Dad, it's time. It's time to trust the Lord as your Savior if you haven't. Mom, it's time. It's time. If you've trusted the Lord, it's time for you to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Mom and Dad, it's time. It's time to yield yourself. It's time to put him in control. Every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to prepare for baptism. But today, I'm going to ask you, what's it like? What's it like being around you? Will you be honest? Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, I ask you to put your finger on the part of our hearts that we have held back. The part of our heart that is hard and unyielding to the leading of your Spirit. We pray, Father, today that you would move among us. If there's one lost, may they trust Christ. For us, your children, Father, we pray that you would lead us to yield to you. Show us how that works. Show us, Father, for your glory, not ours. For your kingdom's sake and your name's sake, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, she's every head bowed, every eye closed. Will you take a second and just ask, Holy Spirit, is there something I'm holding back from you? Is there some area of my life that I'm not letting you have control over? Take it to the Lord right now. Take it to the Lord. If you're lost, I'm telling you, step out of the aisle, come forward. Pastor Noah here will lead you to the Lord. He'll show you from the Bible how to trust Christ as your Savior. Won't you come? As she sings.
He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my name.
He knows us personally.
Oh, how he walks with me. Oh, how he talks with me. Oh, how he tells me that I am his own.
What change is God looking for in your heart this morning?
You know my name. You know my name. You know my name. You know my name. Oh, how you comfort me.
There are Christians praying. There's time for you too.
Oh, how you counsel me. It still amazes me that I am your friend. So now I pour out my heart to you.
Never leave us, never forsake us.
Oh, how you talk with me.
Anytime we need him.
Oh, how you tell me that I am your own.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message that was preached. Lord, help us to be yielded to your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to not hide away any of the areas of our life or, Lord, to excuse them, but, Lord, to give your Holy Spirit free reign to make changes as you see fit and according to your word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.